got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Tim, yesterday we were at Cadinia Park broadcasting live from the Cats game, and so you may have been a little distracted.
I was genuinely, and I know this is very unprofessional, I watched hardly any football yesterday when we were there, and I'm very annoyed. I really wanted to not concentrate during work, but hey.
Well, I noticed something you said, and I clocked it, and I went, I'm going to write that one down, I'm going to grab that tomorrow, and I'm going to hold Tim accountable for what he said. Do you remember the bold claim that you made while watching the Cats play yesterday?
Jess, what's my theory on things that we've done on the show? Forget about it.
Once I've said something,
you're always like, oh, why don't you remember us doing this? Why don't you remember us doing that? We do so much.
Yeah,
we talk about so much stuff.
Well, let me refresh your memory. Okay. Maybe you remember this moment on the show.
There's so many places around town where you can get donuts. And I walk past them and you see them there in the row. And I always go, I could just eat that whole row. And then just, you know, go on with that like nothing's
happened. As if you couldn't eat more than like three donuts in one sitting.
But it unlocks that secondary fuel tank like most four-wheel drives have.
like Nissan Patrol.
Yeah, remember when you referred to yourself as a four-wheel drive?
Well, it's because I said, like, I feel like pasta and donuts unlock this secondary stomach for me, because normally I have a tiny tummy and I can't eat a lot. But donuts in particular.
And you made a bold claim that you love donuts so much you could eat a whole row. And you actively want to do that. You even said this.
Okay.
Pink donuts changes who I am. Pink donuts is my, like, you know when you're running a marathon. Well, I don't. But you know the concept when someone runs a marathon and they've got to break that, they get that second wind?
Yes.
That's the
barrier.
Yeah, they've got to break the barrier. Pink donuts for me, that's always a barrier. Like that Simpsons episode where the Homer's in hell and they're
heaven.
That's me. Exactly. That's my heaven.
Well, Tim, if that's your heaven, consider me your guardian angel, baby, because I'm about to make your dreams come true.
What do you mean?
I have been here very early this morning, working a lot behind the scenes, making my action plan happen, because...
Where's this attitude 5 days a week?
I know that usually you don't do great when it comes to food challenges.
I genuinely believe if you had me, like say if I had attempted 10 food challenges, it'd be 10 fails.
And usually the food challenges revolve around pizza or chicken.
And
you said those foods don't get you going like a pink donut.
They don't unlock my secondary stomach.
Wow. What if I was to challenge you to see how many donuts you could eat, Tim?
No, Jazz.
Well, I want to give you the opportunity to finally tick one off the list. A food challenge designed specifically for you with our friends, Daniel's Donuts. Oh. Because you made the claim, Tim, that you have a second stomach. Even though your first stomach is very tiny.
It's very small.
It expands magically when it comes to donuts. In fact, yesterday during the show, you said this. Every food challenge you've attempted over the 6 years that we've known each other, you have failed.
Pink donuts.
Am I wrong?
Pink donuts changes who I am.
Pink donuts changes who I am. Put your mouth where your mouth is, Tim. It's time to get you. Gob around some donuts.
I mean, and initially I want to go, hey, this is unfair. You're putting me up against it. But I don't know. The hearing back... Whoever that guy was you just had on the in the snippet there, he sounds like a confident man. And obviously that's not who I am right now, but obviously at the time I was feeling very confident I could smash some doughies.
Our friends at Daniel's Donuts are so confident that you'll be able to complete this challenge that they have put through a prize for us. For anyone that wants to give us a call, 52232955. We're going to start taking calls next week because... If people can guess how many donuts you'll be able to eat in 9 minutes 55 seconds, see what we did there? 9 minutes 55 seconds.
You couldn't give me the extra five.
You couldn't give me the extra five. 9 minutes 55 seconds is how long you'll have to eat as many donuts as you can. This is the first time this challenge has ever been done.
But I can't lose that. If you were like, eat 100 donuts in 100 minutes, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, I'm adding the extra element, Tim.
Of gambling.
Of letting people down because people are going to be placing their bets. How many donuts can Tim eat? And the person who gets closest to how many donuts you actually shove in your gob next Friday.
Do I have to swallow them?
You have to swallow them.
Okay.
We'll set all the rules up Monday.
Okay.
But the person who gets closest to guessing how many you actually complete in 9 minutes, 55 seconds will win a year's worth of donuts.
But they haven't done anything.
A year's worth of donuts.
I'm putting my body on the line, sacrificing my well-being.
I know how much you don't like to let people down, Tim. So I'm using that to motivate you.
I think you misunderstood what I stand for.
All right, if you want to win a year's worth of donuts, you need to be listening to the show next week for your chance to enter.
Oh, my God. It's like...
We're calling it the Tim's Donut Dash. I've put so much work into this, Tim.
You genuinely
just...
have. What about the rest of the show? Is this where
that'll
it?
Come.
All right. They got a weekend of donut prep?
Yeah, I'd start eating now. Stretch out that second stomach.
Oh, no. Me and my damn mouth.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
There's some researchers out there that have decided to look into and analyse various household tasks and determine what chores would be most likely to be automated in the next 10 years.
Robots.
Yeah, robots. We've already got, you know, our little RoboVac, you know, that you can get.
The Roombies or Roombas or whatever they're called, yeah.
Well,
they're so expensive.
They are so expensive.
They're like in the thousands.
It turns out within the next 10 years, almost 40% of our time spent cleaning could be automated.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it could be doesn't mean we'll all be able to afford it, but could be. They're talking tasks like grocery shopping was found to be the most automatable.
Even sometimes I do click and collect and I feel dirty. Don't even get me
what
started.
What's
not
a robot collecting your food? There's still someone.
Oh yeah, but,
on the other end.
But it's like I've told the robot, I'm like, hey, fetch me these.
Yeah.
I want 4 butternut pumpkin robot. You do the job. Tell the human this is what I want.
Ironing, washing up, and cooking also featured on this automatable list. Imagine. It's the one scene in Back to the Future that we still haven't seen happen, Tim, is where they have that weird oven. You know, Back to the Future 2.
Put the thing in and it goes like...
They put pizza. Where's my pizza oven? My instant pizza oven.
I was going to say, I can give you a pizza oven. Give me about 3 months and a whole bunch of concrete. But yeah, instant pizza oven.
According to these researchers, if robots can take our jobs, then why aren't they already doing the jobs that we don't want them to do?
I always like to bring a movie into a bit of context for
Please.
This. Like, when we talk about, like... bringing things back from extinction, we go, hey, Jurassic Park is 6
yep.
decent enough movies proving why we probably shouldn't do this. And in the same light, and I know we've spoken about this before, Jess, but WALL-E is a perfect example of where stuff like this could have us heading as a human society.
Do you remember that robot movie? I think it had Robin Williams in it.
Bicentennial Man.
Yes. Great example. See, he was a lovely robot. Fell in love with the daughter.
All right. You're going to fall in love with your instant pizza oven?
Depends what kind of pizza it makes me.
Yeah. Like pizza again, huh? You know me, Robo Pizza.
If there was ever a robot I was going to fall in love with, it'd be a pizza oven.
Okay. Take a step back. I think you're getting more excited about the thought of instant pizza than realizing the ramifications this could have on human beings.
I'd also like an instant deep fryer, but that's a whole other conversation.
What's wrong with these things that you're describing take minutes at most?
Too long, Tim. Why have fast food when you can have faster food? Am I right?
Because you'll die young. That's why. Don't live like WALL-E. No, live like the actual WALL-E, yes, the people in WALL-E.
Sure.
No, sorry, clarification, K-Rock.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
In particular, in the last 2 years, the dating phrase and I guess the general phrase that's been a bit more popularised about red flags.
Yes.
Dating red flags, working red flags, like, oh, they don't pay you super? Red flag.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't look you in the eyes when they speak to you? Guess what?
Red flag.
Red flag.
He's an accountant? Red flag.
Oh, jeez. Tells how you really feel. I saw something on Instagram this morning about someone talking about a green flag when dating people.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman or whatever, this is a green flag that you might not realise is green. You might have a bit of a shade tilt in your eyes and it might seem red, but actually, upon closer inspection, green flag, baby, fly that plane. So what the video was, because I'd love to claim this is my own thought, but I think I've been convinced that this red flag could be turned green.
Okay.
If your partner has, in particular, followed a particular sports team that has always historically sucked,
okay.
Green flag.
Here we go. Now it makes sense.
Well, this is the thing, because I was watching it and it's like, if they've been with them for 30 or so years and they've
through
never
thick and thin.
Yeah, they've never won the grand final, they've never won the premiership, they've never won the Ashes or whatever it may be, they've never won anything.
Yeah.
But they still stick with them. Yes, they're obviously, they can hurt and they can feel and they can experience all those emotions, but you know what they are? Reliable.
Yep.
They're committed. They're there. Even through the thinnest of times, they're still there.
Which Essendon are in.
I'm the most committed person in town. But then you got to, like, until Melbourne won their grand final, Jess,
yeah,
a couple of years ago, imagine the green banner that was waving as a Melbourne supporter. Now I'm off all of you. You won your grand final and you're the worst about it. Back to being a red flag. But whether it's football, soccer, basketball, if you're dating someone who's into a team that historically is awful,
yep,
they will commit to you because they can commit to the hurt. They surely they can commit to the good.
Is it a red flag that my boyfriend Akshay doesn't follow any teams?
Huge red flag because he can't commit to anything.
No.
Because when we go to the football.
He will jump on a bandwagon so fast.
We went to the cricket last year, Renegades versus Brisbane. And he's like, who are we going for? It's mate.
You know what? He lives close to Melbourne, so you'd think he'd go for Melbourne.
Yeah.
But he grew up in Brisbane, so pick a team.
I said to him, he was like, are we going for Melbourne? I was like, well, you're allowed to go for Brisbane. Like, you spent most of your life there? And he goes, nah. Huge. Actually, now this is your green flag's turning a bit, it's getting a bit darker, getting a bit red.
It certainly is.
So just be mindful. If they follow a team that's really successful, they're definitely going to cheat on you.
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Yesterday seems to be, in theory, it was a great day leading up to it, but upon reflection, I had an absolute doozy yesterday when we were at K Park for the Cats' first hit out for their pre-season.
What happened? I thought you did pretty well. I had a good time.
I was excited. I'm a huge footy fan, so getting to see the Cats and Hawks up close, and they played eighths, not eight quarters, as a lot of people kept saying. And
a lot of footy.
Cats got out there, did really well, beat the Hawks. Everyone's having fun. We got to speak to a whole bunch of different people.
Hawthorn supporters weren't having a great time.
Oh, yeah, but there was about seven of those. And I literally, and I know that, like, we like to have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But genuinely something stuck with me when I was walking away from K Park last night.
You had a bit of anxiety.
I was like, what just happened?
Right
at the end of the show last night. So
Kingy, your second nemesis.
Yeah, so Kingy from K-Rock Footy. Well, this is my problem.
Yeah.
Kingy from K-Rock Footy was down on the boundary with Zach Tuohy. So they just finished the first four quarters. And Zach Tuohy, I know that he's a lovely bloke. We've never spoken to him before.
Mm-hmm.
And he
was the one player that really stuck out to me. It's not like I'm not a huge football fan myself, but obviously noticed the mustache straight away.
Yeah. So you were asking him a question about his mustache. Then I chimed in. Got some audio here of what happened next. And I'm just a bit confused by it all, if I'm being honest.
You're much bigger than your mustache. And even though I did see you with a live mustache twirling at Kilgore Street Grocers about a week ago, I know that it's not just for the fun. There's business.
Were you in the bushes?
That does sound a little creepy,
Tim. I was buying a kombucha and some organic rice.
You sound like a hoot.
Jess. I'm a hoot, right? Am I a hoot? Yeah. Please tell me I'm a hoot.
You're a hoot, Tim. You and your organic rice are a hoot.
I am fun. Mm. I'm cool to be around.
Are you believing what you're saying? Or is this like you trying to pep yourself up?
I just don't think trying to live a different lifestyle is unhootable of me.
I didn't realise Zach Tuohy was such a loose unit. You know, he's just going and buying supermarket rice.
Well,
because he's drinking a Coca-Cola, not a kombucha.
Because everyone was having a giggle that, Tim's hiding in the bushes watching Zach Tuohy. No, I was there first.
Can you explain the situation? Because it did sound a little creepy.
No, so
like,
I was
said, Zach Tuohy, I was hanging out. I saw you at the Kilgore Grocer.
So I was,
you
I
were
was,
hanging out and you were twirling your mustache. No. It was a little creepy.
As I was in the cafe and I picked up a few things,
yep,
being some kombucha and some organic rice,
of course,
I paid.
Because you're a hoot.
And as I came out of the cafe, because I'm not an animal, left, right, we're all right. All right, I'm not going to walk into somebody like an animal. And as I turned left, I saw Zach sitting down with another Cats player facing away from me.
So then you pulled out your video camera.
No. And as I turned, literally, he was twirling his mustache. Yeah. And I thought, because I've never seen him. And historically, you go, Zach Tui's known. One of his main features is...
Why didn't you go say hi?
Because I'm not going to interrupt his day.
And was it because you were in the bushes?
And so I'm not going to interrupt his day. But I was like, huh, funny. Like the one of his like more memorable features was the thing that he was doing for the split second that I saw him. Mm-hmm. And I bring it up and I've been accused, alleged, that I'm not a hoot. I genuinely believe that if Zach had to spend an hour with me,
yep,
we would have an absolute ball. And you could come too, and we would all have karaoke.
I think you're very fun, buddy.
What's wrong with gut health? Is that not cool? Is that not sexy? Am I not in the cool kid group because I don't have white rice and Coke? Zach, I'm such a hoot, mate. I know you're not listening because you said it yesterday. You don't listen.
He definitely doesn't.
So, yeah, I was walking home and I was like...
If you know Zach Tui, can you just ask him if he's got beef with Tim? We'd really like to know.
Well, no, it's pretty much confirmed. There was high sarcasm tones in his
buddy,
voice.
Buddy, I've hung out with you for more than an hour. I think you're a hoot.
Thanks. Yeah, I am.
It's like you're saying your mum thinks you're cool.
She does.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Tim, we're talking on 52232955 about changing your baby's name because there's a mum in the UK who has a four-year-old son and it turns out he thinks his name is boring and he doesn't like it and it's really upsetting him. So she's asking whether she can change his name at such a young age.
I mean, well, legally... Yes, you can file the paperwork through the government or whatever. I remember when I was maybe 8 to 10 years old. I don't know why. Maybe it was a bit younger because when I was first get the Pokemon games on Game Boy, I would always put my name because you get to make a little character and I would never call myself Tim.
Who would you be?
I would be Max.
Max!
And I don't know. And then I was just like, yeah. And even now, like playing Pokemon as an adult, I'm like, well, he has to be Max. He's always been Max. And maybe... I can't remember exactly, but maybe I wanted my name to be Max for a little bit. But I never was like, Mummy.
I was going to be a Samantha. This show could have been the Max and Sam show because my mum wanted to name me after her dad.
Sammy, Max and Sammy.
And then she saw me and was like, oh, no, she's not a Samantha. Oh, no. And she had a panic
attack.
She's
a goblin. Saw that one there. Now, we've had Emily from Port Arlington call. Now, this isn't changing a kid's name. Is this to do with a fur baby, Emily?
Yeah, my cat.
Emily, just as much of a baby, babe.
Yeah. So you've changed your cat's name a few times, Emily?
Just the once, but we got her, and then about 2 years later, we decided to change her name.
Two years
in is a big wait.
Emily, did it start off just like calling your name? Because like I've got my cat Penny, and sometimes I just call her Little P. Little nicknames, and then sometimes they stick. Is that what happened, Em? Did you just like start calling it by a different name?
No, my sister named her something real dumb, like Fluffy or Cotton or something, I don't know. And then I was like, no, this isn't happening anymore.
Now, Jess, you've had a rescue cat before.
Yes.
And I've had a rescue dog and we've both changed their names.
Yep.
And I felt awful about it.
Oh, see, I tried to keep it similar. So
ended on the same inflection.
Penny was Mandy when I rescued her.
Okay, because Remy, my dog, was Jersey.
Yeah.
And my wife...
I have a friend, Mandy. I couldn't name.
Yeah. So, Emily, you think 2 years in, it's fine to just go, you know what? You're an animal. You don't have human rights.
Cat get confused?
A little bit, but it was fun because it annoyed my sister.
Yeah, fair enough.
And also at the council, I assume, when you had to re-register it.
Come on! Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best!
Goodbye. Goodbye. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.